蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
亲爱的听众朋友，欢迎来到良友电台的中英双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Haven Today》。我是乐欣，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. And thank you for joining me as we continue in a series called All Trials, Great and Small, with my dear friend Johnny Erickson Tata.Tragedy touched Johnny's life at the young age of 17, but mercy came as she met the Lord Jesus. A diving accident severed Johnny's spine, leaving her a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. 5 decades, that's a long time to be totally dependent on others. But Johnny has learned to depend on the Lord.
35 years of marriage to my husband, Ken, and again, we don't know where the time has gone.It has gone so quickly. We are indeed, as the Bible says in the book of James, wisps of smoke, fading vapors, here today, gone tomorrow. So little wonder that Ken and I, as we celebrated our wedding anniversary this month, we reflected back and started numbering our days. We started reflecting on all the many things God has done, where we've been, how we've ministered together as a couple, the highlights of how he...championed me through my battle with cancer, how he stood by my wheelchair all these many years. The Bible says, teach us to number our days that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. And that's what Ken and I did in celebration of our wedding anniversary. Honestly, Charles, we just sat down and we began going through the days and the months and the years, thanking God for his graciousness to us.
I know she's listening today. I want to congratulate Johnny and Ken for their 35th anniversary.And for their ministry together that's touched the lives of so many. We'll be hearing more from Johnny in just a moment. Now we get started. Dennis Jernigan with Nicole Grant. You are my all in all.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all.To give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.Thank you.
I suppose you're used to dumb questions.
Try me.
Okay. I broke my neck, so I'm supposed to be dead. Why has it taken so long?
You've made it through 4 weeks. I'd say the crisis was over. You're going to continue as a dues-paying member of the human race. I'm going to operate very soon. Fuse the bones in your neck back together. Then we can get rid of those tongs.
Mom, did you know?
No.
How does a private room sound?
With a window?
When good news is a room with a window. An excerpt from the feature film Johnny, starring Johnny Erickson Tata, and a little more from Johnny. Just a little bit later here in this Haven Today, all trials, great and small, I'm Charles Morris. What's the largest gift you've ever scraped together and sent to someone you know and maybe loved who was in great need? Ever done that and never heard back? Never heard a single thank you? I have, and you probably have as well. That's what many have read into Paul's letter to the Philippians. They were one of the churches that sent a gift of money to the church in Jerusalem that was suffering greatly. Paul helped deliver that gift. Then the Philippians hear Paul is in need. He's imprisoned in Rome, and they send a gift to him. He writes a letter back. It's a wonderful letter, and yet he never says thank you for their gift until the very end. You've heard of the Stoics? They held to the philosophy of keeping the stiff upper lip. Never let on what you're feeling. Even in your pain, you can't admit it. Buck up. How are you doing today? And a Stoic reply, never better. And yet you know that's just not true. Well, that's what many have thought when Paul wrote back to the Philippians, and he uses a Stoic word that we translate as content. He said, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. Now, many people have read this in passing years, and I believe that they have read Paul wrong. He starts the passage in Philippians 4, in verse 10, saying, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. They forget that he says right after that, indeed you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. But then he says in verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, this has become a confusing passage to many. But if we can understand what Paul means by contentment here, not the way the Stoics use the word, then we can grow in our faith. And we can say with Paul, like he ends the passage in verse 13, I can do all this through him, Christ, who strengthens me or gives me strength. Understand where he's coming from, and you will grow in your faith no matter what pain you may be suffering. You are, and you will endure with Christ while living out your Christian faith. Get this meaning wrong for being content, and your life in pain or out of pain will become miserable. What he does not mean is that contentment is complacency. Contentment is elusive, even for Christians, and especially Christians in North America. What are the marks of discontent? I can think of the high level of consumer debt. Many of us spend more than we save. We hoard more than we give. Anxiety rises when we can't pay our bills. It can affect us all. Last Saturday, I spent part of the day with a wealthy Christian businessman. I know he had been praying. He was facing a lawsuit that he didn't deserve, and he was facing a judgment that could have cost him $12 million. It could have closed him down. Hundreds of his employees would have faced unemployment. And then at the end of our afternoon together, he shared the news. A judge had unexpectedly ruled the day before that he didn't owe the $12 million. His business was saved. His employees still had their jobs. The company could stay afloat and provide a wonderful service that people need. 400 years ago, a preacher named Jeremiah Burroughs wrote a book on what he called the rare jewel. He wrote the entire book on Christians finding contentment The right kind of contentment, Paul was saying, he had found, and that's what he was sharing with Christian friends in Philippi. Jeremiah Burroughs compared this contentment to a priceless treasure. He said, "A soul that is capable of God can be filled with nothing else but God." I've been chewing on that line all this week. A soul that is capable of God can be filled with nothing else but God. You see, every human being, even Christians, are born with a sinful heart. And sinful hearts always lead us to discontent, not content. Is that how you're living today? What are the roads we take to discontent? In this life, we're bombarded with these roads. The easiest road we face traveling, I've already mentioned, and that's the road of money. If I just had more money, think what I could do. Think what more money would buy. Love of money is warned against 7 times in the Bible. There are biblical examples of the danger of money. Remember Proverbs 30:8-9? A man named Agur praying, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or, 'Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God.'" The power of money can tempt our hearts and lead us on the road away from God. When we lack enough, even for our daily bread, we're tempted to steal. When we have more than enough to take care of our needs, we're tempted to dispense with God. Both are to be feared. That's the money road, traveling in this world. But I'm also thinking of another road of discontent when we travel in this life. It's the road we think will lead us to overcoming an illness. A road that can lead us away from the Lord and not to Him. It can happen when we're young. It can happen when we're old. Before I turned 2 years old, I contracted polio, the same year that the salt vaccine was discovered. My parents were crying out in prayer, "Lord, why have you allowed this to happen to our child? The doctors said I'd never walk again. I might spend the rest of my life trapped in an iron lung." And just 1 year later, there came the cure. Now, in my case, as a young child in Kansas, something controversial. Sister Kinney treatments out of Australia were brought all the way to a Catholic hospital in Wichita. And I could walk, although today I walk with a limp and suffer almost daily bouts of post-polio, which doctors still can't fully understand. It's my thorn in the flesh until I receive that new resurrected body where I hope to run marathons after this life. I've known friends who've traveled to Mexico for an unproven cure for cancer. I've never known if these promises of good health to work. Or there's Johnny, who's been on with us all this week. That swimming accident. Of course, she and her parents cried out, "Why, God, did you let this happen?" She's never been healed. Like me, she's waiting for her resurrected body. She should have died by now as a quadriplegic. And yet, I think my friend Johnny has learned what Paul meant when he said he had learned to be content. Ever living in constant suffering, she's able to say, like Paul at the end of the passage, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now that's true contentment, not self-sufficient, not independent, as Stoics elevated the word Paul uses. Here's the secret of Paul's contentment: to be captivated by Christ as the sovereign to whom you submit, as the Savior who you serve, and as the sufficient one who you trust always and forever.
说到知足，我们的第一反应可能会觉得就是要降低自己的要求还有欲望。比如呢，去逛街的时候呀，如果看中了3双鞋子，觉得呢，这3双鞋子都很好看，都想买。可是，经过了一番思想斗争，考虑到实际的用途，还有自己的经济状况，可能到最后呢，这3双里面只会拿1双回家。付款的时候呢，我们还不忘要安慰自己说，要学会知足，不能贪多。不知道乐心说的这种情况有没有发生在你身上过呢？没错了，知足确实是一项需要我们学习的东西。 它不会自发地出现在我们的生命里面，更加呢，不会随着年龄的增长而成正比的增加。然而，要真正的学会知足，却不是压制欲望那么简单，因为很可能在长期的压抑之后，某一天突然因着某些事物的刺激，我们内心积攒的那些欲望就会突然的全面爆发出来了。直到那一刻，我们才恍然大悟，其实由始至终呀，我们都没有学会知足，一切呢，不过只是自我安慰，自欺欺人罢了。那么，真正的知足应该从哪里学到呢？保罗说，我知道怎样处卑贱，也知道怎样处富裕，我已经得了秘诀，无论在任何情况之下，或是饱足，或是饥饿，或是富裕，或是缺乏，都可以知足。我靠着那加给我力量的，凡事都能做。而且我认为，知足呀，就是与基督紧紧相连的生命状态里才能够结出来的一种果实。很多时候，当我们表现出来了焦虑，或者呢，控制欲很强，总是想控制一个局面，控制一个进程，控制别人，又或者是在某个状态之下，我们为自己感到很难过，自怜自艾，那种的心情就好像酸葡萄一样的。这些种种的表现出来的特征呢，都是因为我们没有住在基督里，我们没有与基督相连。这一个花花世界里面有太多的纷繁和享乐，会吸引我们的眼光，进而呢就勾住了我们的灵魂。在这个地方，乐心暂且不谈丰富的物质世界能够给我们带来的许多属灵的冲击，我比较想说的呢是更加微妙的，更加呢不容易被别人察觉到的一种内心膨胀的问题。总会有那么一些时刻，我们会觉得自己值得获得更好的待遇。比如呢，在我帮助了你解决了某个问题之后，陪你度过了某个难关之后，那么心目当中呀，难免就会想着说，下一次你也应该以我对待你的方式来对我才行。乐心，我可以在节目当中很坦白地说，有好几个月的时间里面呢，在过去的那几个月的时间里面呢，我就是陷入到了这种感觉自己亏了，这种酸葡萄的心态里。为什么呢？因为在过去的那一年的时间里面呢，我很尽心尽力地去陪伴一个朋友，陪着他走过了死因的幽谷，陪着他经过了一个又一个流泪的晚上。后来当我看着他慢慢好起来了，我也不知道为什么就觉得说自己应该得到一些回报。这种样的回报呢，不一定是要与经济有关的，而是说假设在我哪里不舒服的时候，我觉得你就应该第一时间比谁都殷勤，比谁都积极的来照顾我。又或者呢，在我情绪低落的时候，在我需要有人来开导我的时候，那你就应该放下你手上的工作，放下你现在的一些问题，而是一心的来安慰我，鼓励我。我对你提出这样的要求，完全是因为当时我也是这样对你的，所以现在轮到我不好了，难道就不应该交换一下角色，来一个彼此照应吗？那么在这种样的一种酸葡萄的状态下呢，乐心还给自己找到了许多像模像样的说辞。我认为朋友之间应该是平等的，应该是可以等价交换的。如果说我在你这里有一定的付出，那么到了我有难处的时候，你身为朋友，那么你也应该拔刀相助。我不知道正在听节目的你， 能不能够体会到乐心在那几个月里面的那种不知足，在关系里面找不到得不着的这种发自内心的那种苦读的心情。我相信我们每个人对朋友的依赖，渴望他们相助，渴望他们帮忙的这种心情呢，是正常的，是可以理解的。在圣经里面我们不也看到了耶稣他渴望他的门徒能够同心祷告，陪伴他经历那可怕的克西马尼园之夜吗？然而问题就在于说，当我们的依赖得不着的时候，我们是要选择自怜自义，想着哎呀，我要和这个人绝交，再也不要和这个人做朋友了，自己真是亏死了。我们每天是想着这些负面的思想呢，还是说我要选择回到基督里，接受圣灵的光照，看到自己里面的那些自以为意还有骄傲呢？有一天就是在乐心又陷入到了这种觉得自己亏了的这种很酸唧唧的心态里面的时候，突然的我就想到了马太福音里面耶稣就说到了那一群总是在人前祷告，在人前行善，在人前表现得好像很爱神的一群人，耶稣是怎么说他们的？耶稣说这些人想要得到的奖赏，得到的加赏，他们已经得到了。我当时马上就想到，哦，我一直渴望在我帮了对方之后能够得到的回报，能够想要从这个人身上得到的回报，其实真的已经得到了。有的时候不一定是他给的，有的时候是教会的其他的弟兄姊妹看到了他们对我的肯定，然后呢他们就对我表示出来了肯定。这些来自人的肯定，这些我期待从人那里获得的相应的一个回应，其实早就有了，可是我还是觉得不够，我还是觉得说我需要更多，我的里面没有知足。怪不得保罗会说我已经学会了知足，当他写这句话的时候，他是真的学会了在基督里靠着基督凡事都能做。然而对于我们这些还在学习的过程当中的时候呢，可能很多时候很多情况之下，当我们的眼目不再定睛在耶稣那儿，而是去看环境，去看人，去看我们心中的那个没有说出口的期待的时候，我们里面没有知足，没有平安。
When I was talking to Johnny just a few days ago, I asked if she would pray for us, and especially for those going through suffering today. Let's go before the Lord together.
Lord Jesus, you're the God of all encouragement. You don't speak words of despair and hopelessness. You speak words of hope and confidence. And we hold on to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 today, all of my listening friends, because we're weak.We're needy, we're hurting, and yet you tell us to be strong and courageous. You tell us not to be frightened, not to be dismayed, because Jesus, you are with us wherever we go. Father, for the person who is hurting and feeling despairing of his life circumstances, remind him, remind her that you are with them wherever they go, and may they lean hard on you, relying on your grace.May they sing that beautiful old hymn, I need thee every hour, I need thee. But actually, may they mean every minute. May they rely on you every single minute, Jesus. We need you that desperately. So show yourself up big time in the lives of my friends listening today. And may each friend listening hold fast to the word of God. You tell us constantly to hold fast to your promises. May we do that and thereby experience your peace and your joy.In your wonderful name, we ask all this. Amen.
Amen.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had got questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. And oh, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
I've learned
to trust in God. Through it all, oh, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Now I've been to lots of places, and I have seen so many faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. Those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that I am His own.
这个就是今天蓝天绿洲的全部节目内容了。我们的短信号码是13229966122，欢迎你透过短信来和我们说说你听完节目之后的感受。短信的开头请你加上蓝天，那乐行的 Charles 呢就在明天的同一时间和你继续分享。愿神祝福你，保守你，我们明天不见不散。
You are my strength when I